Hello and welcome to another Tech Talks episode on the Defense Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Civilian Sydney, and today I am chatting with Mr. Wyatt Taylor from Epic Solutions, a performer on the Neptune project. Neptune was initially awarded in 2021 to three performers to provide a radio frequency payload for implementation into unmanned maritime systems. The project was then down-selected to Epic Solutions. Their payload solution gained attention from many other DoD offices who have since integrated Neptune's test assets into their own systems. In this episode, we're going to discover the factors that led to this project's success. Wyatt is the VP of Products and Technology at Epic Solutions. Wyatt received his bachelor's and master's degrees in electrical engineering at Virginia Tech. He went on to gain expansive experience in radio frequency engineering, systems engineering, and systems design review management. Wyatt's experience has provided him with a holistic understanding of what makes a successful RF solution for DoD utilization. And for that reason, I'm very much looking forward to sharing this conversation.
So hi, Wyatt. Thank you so much for joining today. I'm excited to be able to sit with you and hear more about you and the success that Epic Solutions has had on your SMARTS project, which is Neptune. But we'll hear more about that in a second. If you wouldn't mind just starting out by walking us through your background, what your area of expertise is in the industry, and what kind of things you're passionate about.
Sure. Yeah. So I studied at Virginia Tech, where I have a bachelor and master's in electrical engineering. Virginia Tech had then and still has a great software-defined radio program inside of the college, which is pretty unique. So I was interested in SDR, really, in both undergrad and grad school. Out of school, worked at Thales for a couple of years on soldier radios, and then a company called DRT that was later acquired by Boeing that did more wideband receivers. And then I joined a semiconductor company called Analog Devices that makes a lot of the key components that go into the products that those companies and kind of everyone else in this ecosystem uses. And then just over 2 years ago, I joined Epic. So at Epic, I am our senior director of software-defined radios. And what that really means is I have responsibility for our product portfolio, our technology roadmap. I do a lot of our key customer engagement. I work on proposals like what we did for Neptune. Really focused on the intersection of technology, application, real world impact, the business for Epic, the business for our customers, and how everybody can be successful with the right technology at the right time.
Oh, great. Okay. And you said software defined radios.
That's right.
Do you mind telling me what that means?
Yeah. So legacy designs, if you think back to like a video of, you know, World War II or the Vietnam War, they had big backpacks, and that radio on a backpack could do one function. It could be a communications radio, for example, that did one kind of communication standards. And a software-defined radio, as the software name kind of implies, is a radio that can be made architecturally to take on a lot of different personalities. So it can change frequency, it can change bandwidth, it can change applications. It can do all that kind of over time through different software loads. So it gives the user a lot of flexibility where you could deploy a commercial or government application in one space and then change it and modify it as time went on as you would need to. So it's really trying to be more flexible, more digitally and software defined, and less RF and hardware defined.
Okay, that makes sense. Thanks so much for explaining that. So can you tell me a little bit more about Epic Solutions, what you guys specialize in, what you do?
Yeah, so Epic we really just focus on software-defined radios. We've got just over 200 people and growing, so we're still a pretty small, agile company. We were bootstrapped by our three founders back in 2009, and we started shipping our first commercial off-the-shelf or COTS products in 2014. So in the decade since we really started the product and COTS path, we've shipped more than 25,000 of our SDRs to more than 500 customers. So really very wide breadth of customer base that speaks a lot to the software and the tools that we give our customers. There's a very high level of ease of use, kind of a low barrier to entry on the Epic product lines, which is really unique. We really view ourselves as reducers of friction. And the more we can enable our customers just go do great things, the better they'll be, the better we'll be. And we can all kind of collectively move a little bit faster. Our primary headquarters are out in Rolling Meadows, which is right outside of Chicago. And we also have offices though in Mount Airy, Maryland, and Montreal, Canada, and then distributed teams all over the US. I work out of North Carolina. We have sales teams in every region, including a customer business development team in the UK looking after a European business.
Great. Sounds like you're all over the place. That's awesome. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about the Neptune Project and your role on the Neptune Project. Could you start us out by giving an overview of what that project was and what its desired end state is?
Yeah, so Neptune as a larger project is really focused on pushing technology forwards for unmanned vehicles in maritime applications. So a lot of us, when you think about drones or unmanned vehicles, you think about little DJI drones taking videos or even maybe larger military type airborne drones. But there is a lot of interest in drones on land and drones in the water as well. And so this is a maritime focused program. And really, how do you put more capability into that environment, which has its own kind of unique attributes? And so the whole Neptune program covers a lot of different areas. There's work on the actual vehicle itself, like the thing that drives in the water. There's work on the application and the software side. But for Epic, what we're really focused on is the payload that goes inside of this drone. So we don't make, unmanned vehicles in the air or in the water, but we do make the payloads that go inside those vehicles that are really central to the mission. And so we've been doing the Neptune payload underneath the larger Neptune project.
Okay, great. Totally makes sense. So today we're going to be kind of focusing on the success that the project has seen. So I know that this project has seen a lot of significant success after the initial prototyping phase. Can you tell us about that and where kind of the Neptune project is at now?
So the payload is unique. Part of this body is it's all very size constrained. You can imagine anything that's unmanned, it's generally battery powered. So you try to make it small, you try to make it low power. So we are in kind of a tubular shape, and we have a 2.8-inch diameter, so kind of like that size and a couple of inches long. So it's very size constrained, very difficult. There are a lot of requirements on the RF and signal processing side they had. They wanted to take advantage of like artificial intelligence and machine learning techniques, so some different processing architectures. And yeah, it's been super, super successful. It's been about 2 years in. We have shipped units, many units to ONR, who is the primary customer, but also some other government customers who've heard of the program are excited about the technology. We are currently really in the throes of that transition to production, really building out full automated testing capabilities, really doing like a lot more characterization and final kind of product performance metrics, as well as getting like all of the production processes and documentation set up so that we can really transition to higher volume output and not make these one or two at a time, but make these dozens or hundreds or thousands at a time, as the government and other customers need them at that kind of volume.
Yeah, that's very exciting. Really cool to hear that your, prototype under the OTA made it through to production and now it's obviously getting attention of other government offices. So must be doing something right. So from a performer's perspective, what do you think made this project so successful post prototype, going into production? Like, why is it so popular now?
Yeah, I think we really saw when we saw the original Neptune solicitation, it aligned very well to multiple SDRs that were in our portfolio. So we didn't have that capability in a single product or payload to date, but we had parts of this solicitation over here and other parts over here. And all those were kind of commercial offerings that we have that we just keep on the shelf for our customers to buy. And so it was really, in a lot of ways, an integration exercise. So there was a lot lower risk from that standpoint. We weren't creating a whole lot of new technology and new art that had never been done before. We'd kind of done it in these different places and we're integrating it and really meeting these size and power requirements that they had. So from that viewpoint, we had like a really good position from the IP base that we had to meet what the Neptune team wanted. And so we really started just working on that integration, adding a couple of new things like the artificial intelligence and machine learning was a new capability. But really, that leverage from a COTS base that we have accelerated our schedule, really reduced the risk, and really benefited both the Neptune team as well as Epic ourselves as we're working through the project. So that's been a key part of it. Certainly going through is just, the more things that you kind of have in your COTS portfolio, it gives you kind of, Lego bricks that you can then build ever more creations out of.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that collaboration has been a big aspect? Do you have performers that you're working with on the project?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, so the government team has been super supportive. We have monthly technical interchanges with them. And so when there have been kind of forks in the road in the project where it's been, we could go this way and it would be faster and cheaper. We could go this way to be greater performance or more capability. Yeah. And we've been able to have those discussions on a regular cadence, right? We're not waiting till some next huge milestone that might be a year away to get feedback. We have these iterative feedbacks that we've been running through with the entire team, the OTA team, as well as the government team, as well as Epic. So it's been very collaborative, the ability to just kind of discuss the project as it's moving. And also as we've been transitioning to production, starting to get better sense of, well, we'd want to buy these many more on this kind of horizon, we can start to then lean into the supply chain and procure things. So the lead time comes down for the government. That's a big part of what we focus on as well, is trying to ship these kind of capabilities in weeks to months, not quarters to years, which is pretty standard still in the government world. So yeah, it's been just very collaborative kind of on all fronts, which benefits everyone, accelerates the whole project.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to hear. So how is the technology that you're producing through Neptune, how do you think it will innovate government processes or help them, like the government in general, the DoD, to move faster?
Yeah, we see this as just part of a larger trend that we're just seeing for more COTS interest, right? Like instead of having very bespoke kind of single function green boxes that people would think of when they think about government equipment, having more COTS things. And it's not quite as easy as like going to Amazon and just buying anything and it ships overnight. But if you can start to have COTS providers that ship in 4 to 6 weeks, that's a really different world. And we're seeing the government lean into that more and more, certainly through this program, but also in other things we're seeing like Replicator that's in the news these days. So we think it's part of that larger mega trend. And I think it's just a great proof point that that can succeed, and also that betting on working with smaller, more agile companies like Epic can also be, you know, a winning combination. That, you know, certainly there are always places for the big primes, and we work very closely with a lot of them. But we also think that we can be agile and we can innovate on a time scale that's unique. We just don't have quite as much overhead as a larger enterprise would.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned like the goal is 4 to 6 weeks to get these things shipped. What is the current? I'm just curious. What's the current timeline to get something like that for a government office?
We hear a lot of people come to us and say they're hearing 52 weeks or more from others in industry, and that we can offer 4 to 6 or 8 to 10, whatever it might be for a different product, is just an order of magnitude faster, and really gets equipment into the government's hands and into the warfighters' hands more quickly, and lets people start to really get out there and do kind of mission critical applications.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big difference. So do you, you've kind of touched on this, but do you expect there to be more government or commercial applications in the future?
Yeah, we really do. We see a really wide range of these kind of payloads. I mean, I think we've all seen in the last few years a huge push to unmanned technology, just as the vehicles on the commercial side, right, the DJIs and others of the world showing what we've done in totally commercial applications with unmanned systems. Obviously, governments around the world are looking at that. Putting the machine learning and the artificial intelligence into the payload is a really big difference maker. The way to think about that is, if you don't have that kind of processing at the edge, often you're sending an unmanned system out and it might have a very high capability sensor, but it needs to send all of that data back to some central processing. So it needs a huge data link that's very expensive, whether it's satellite or other kind of mesh network approaches. By pushing the machine learning and the artificial intelligence to the edge, you can start to do more and more processing at the edge, and only a small amount of data needs to come back, right? Mm-hmm. Like the process data can come back of like what the video is or what the RF signal is. And so that really just enables a range of different deployments, both in commercial applications and government applications.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exciting. So this project was awarded through the other transaction authority, the SMARTS OTA to be specific. So I'm wondering how the utilization of the OTA has benefited you guys specifically at Epic in the whole process.
Yeah, it was a great marriage. Kind of, as I mentioned, we really see like time to market moving quickly, right, is a key advantage, and just like kind of in our blood. And the OTA works the same way, right? Like they're also focused on moving things quickly, getting things into the customer hands, closing that feedback loop, like I said, these monthly meetings and other things, iterating as quickly as possible. And so the OTA was really good for supporting that, right? We got to a prototyping, kind of a very Rev A, kind of very rough prototype very quickly. We're currently shipping Rev C prototypes. And so we've been able to iterate, you know, fix problems as we found them, add features as they were requested. And the OTA really helped tackle that We also, the OTA is a firm fixed price engagement. So Epic has just a business incentive, right? We want to move fast because we've said we're going to do it for this amount of dollars. Dollars generally for our developments just means time. It's more of our engineers, less of our material. And so both our incentive to move quick and to get the work done and make the customer happy was there. And the OTA was in a very efficient way to kind of make that possible for our government team.
Yeah, absolutely. So are there any ways that the Smarts OTA team supported and encouraged your guys' success specifically on this project?
Yeah, they really helped kind of just, they were the bridge, right, between the government team and our team, where they would help round when you need to have one of these technical calls because there's a decision to be made, right? Like they were the ones kind of reaching into everybody's schedule, pulling all the groups together. So they really complimented our project management team, which is doing that internal to Epic and managing all of our teams and our timelines. And so they really just supported both Epic and the government team to kind of make sure everybody could get to a successful outcome and just kind of, you know, smooth the tracks there to make sure that there are as few logistical bumps as possible.
Yeah, to make sure you're on the same page with the government team and you guys are getting that interaction as well.
Yep,
I'm sure that's very beneficial. Yeah,
for sure.
Great. Well, that about covers it for me. That's all the questions I had, but I wanted to give you an opportunity if there's anything else you wanted to speak about while you're here, whether that's about Neptune or Epic Solutions, or just something you're passionate about.
Yeah, I mean, I would say just in some, like, this is what we're passionate about, right? Like, we really think about small form factor, high performance software defined radios and RF platforms. Like, we love pushing technology forwards. We love leaning in to new capabilities and leveraging what is really out there, whether it's from like the NVIDIAs of the world with the machine learning and artificial intelligence, or AMD/Xilinx or FPGAs or analog devices on the RFIC side. We really try to adopt technology quickly and really get it into our customers' hands with better solutions that enable them to build these mission critical applications on top of our COTS SDR platform. So really focused on ease of use, customer support, fast time to market, reducing kind of RF technology risk. That's been critical for everything Epic does, but all of those have really been proof points in the Neptune project. So it's really been kind of a, you know, a really great just total project experience, I think, for Epic and hopefully for our government customers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And if there are other like industry performers who are interested in partnering with you, do they go to your website? What's the best way to reach out to you?
Yeah, you can always go to epicsolutions.com. There is a contact us platform there. Like I said, we've got regional sales coverage all over the U.S. as well as in Europe, and so we'll connect you with the right team to start having a conversation.
Awesome. That sounds great. Well, thank you so much for talking me through all that and for joining today. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Sydney.